We're going to be talking again this morning on the areas of prosperity. Hallelujah. Yes, God's not done yet. He has things He wants to say. And we've been talking in the areas about prosperity. We dealt with the area of faithfulness. It was one of the key principles. And really that was the first one that God wanted me to talk about, was faithfulness. And think about the people that we're around in a society. Faithfulness is really, if you take even from a business standpoint, just perspective, I mean, employers out here looking for people and looking for faithful people. They're out here trying to find somebody that might just show up all the time, you know. I mean, it's phenomenal to me today is what people expect on sick days each year they ought to have. I mean, if sick days is high on your list for a job, get ready to get sick. Quit going around trying to believe God for healing. If you're believing God for sick days so you can be sick, you're going to have them. And if you just, I get sick days, so I take them sick. If they let you take them off as vacation or whatever, that's fine. But I tell you what, just because you have a day off and you call off sick and you ain't sick, you just lied.
Amen.
And don't bother trying to believe God the next time you get sick.
That's right.
Don't bother. It ain't going to work. It can't be. We just people play always playing both sides of things, and Christians don't ever get it. I don't understand. I believe what the Word says, yeah. But you've been believing for sickness. And you've been talking. You've been lying, calling your employer, telling them you're sick when you ain't. You know, I got saved. I changed doing that kind of stuff. I got a conscience. And that's why I believe many people ain't saved, because they have no conscience. Jesus said you know them by their fruit. He didn't say that you'll know them because they said they're a Christian. You'll know them by their fruit. And when people don't have a conscience, there's a good it's a good chance they ain't a Christian. When they can lie and like it, okay. There's a problem there. But we don't do that. Also, we talked about the law of the Spirit of life. And you got to walk and live in that, the law of the Spirit of life. You know, you got to follow the Word of God. We also talked about seeking God and His kingdom was one of the principles. We also talked about doing the Word. And in teaching that, we did use the ugly four-letter word here. And it was called work, W-O-R-K, that's a toughie on people. Last week we talked about the tithe, but we dealt with why tithe, why it's there, the purpose of what it is. And it's like Mike said, when people are not tithing, they don't realize they are hindering the furtherance of the gospel. They're stopping the ministry. That's why God always wanted Israel to tithe, because it was to keep the ministry going. That's what its purpose was. Understand this, the tithe was not for building buildings and doing stuff. It wasn't for that. It wasn't for building the temple. It was so the ministry would keep operating and keep running. The ministers could go. And that's one of the things that we do. And that's why as a church, we take part of our income and we give it to other ministries and that stuff and those ministries to help them to keep the gospel furthered, to keep it going. And, there's a lot of people going to stand in judgment before Jesus Christ because of they didn't get involved in their giving. You know, you can sell all the chicken dinners you want, but what did you do about your money? You can say, well, I've helped get all this money in the kingdom. I'm sorry, it wasn't your money. What'd you do with yours? we have to do it. And the Bible calls us Jesus is the high priest of the tithe. So if he's the high priest of the tithe, it seems very well that we should tithe to him, shouldn't we? Or then he's not the high priest of the tenth. People say, well, the New Testament doesn't say anything about it. Well, if he's the high priest of the tithe, how can you get away from not tithing to him? Then he's not the high priest of the tithe. And if the tithe stopped, there's no more high priest of tithe. It's gone. So, and we did discuss the fact that tithing was not a principle of the old covenant. It was a principle laid under the covenant of promise. And we found it through from the covenant of promise with Abraham. And that's what our covenant is. Our covenant is a covenant of promise. It's founded there and it's going to end there too. Hallelujah. Praise God. So get it, we want to get in it. One of the things we want to look at is one of the principles today, and one of the principles of our prosperity is God wants us to enjoy it. God wants you to enjoy prosperity. I've never met anybody who enjoyed poverty yet. God wanted you to be, wanted a person to be poor, then He'd want you to have a great time doing it. And if you could have a great time being poor, you could have a really great time doing that. Why would you seek money or ask God for anything? That would be sort of a ludicrous thing to do. And I've always, you know, these people talk about poor people being happy. Oh, poor people are happier than rich folks. Yeah? What planet do you live on? It's like I had a person come and tell me he was a Christian, and I just laid my hand on their empty head and prayed for him. They said, poor people give the most. If they did, they'd be the richest. I mean, that's stupid. They say, poor people give the most. Now, it's just, it's nonsense. And people talk and say things, and we walk around and understand this. You need to get a hold of this fact, because you'd be surprised how much of this is ingrained in you. It's why you can't operate in the places of prosperity you'd like to go. I was born and raised under that kind of teaching. You know, when the message of faith came along, when Kenneth Hagin started preaching that, the biggest thing that he got the whole trouble that people didn't like, God said, go teach my people faith, because it was the fact that God would bless you and you could have something. Because the church was embalmed and indoctrinated into poverty. And it ain't got out yet. You can go to churches, I mean, you can go around, they can have big buildings, all kinds of stuff. They teach poverty from their pulpit. You know, they wouldn't even have ministries if it wouldn't be for the poor, most of them. That's just all they do. They put the poor at the top. And I want you to know what? The poor are not at the top of your giving, according to the Bible. But then, what do we care what the Bible says, you know? We have our churches and our doctrines and our stuff. You know, that's what's important. And we need to know, if we stay ingrained with wrong thinking and we stay ingrained and let those stuff get in, it hinders us from believing. You know, because, you know, I was, you know, like when I was a kid growing up, God will supply your need, what you need. And really what they meant is just barely enough to get by. That's what need was. You only need this little bit. This is why people have a hard time believing for a really nice car, believing for one that has all the gadgets and the things on it. They have a hard time believing for it. Because they'll tell you, I don't really want it. Well, if you don't, that's fine. But don't be lying, because you can't believe for it. You don't think God really wants you to go there. So you have to watch it, because when it comes down to need, the Bible talks about God meeting desires. But see, the church was stuck on what you need. Well, first, if we're going to find out what we need, we'd have to look at, say, well, what does God have, or what? How does He operate, and what does He do? I want to tell you what, God's not needy. He's not just getting by with just barely enough, just to make it. It's like a guy comes along and tells you he's rich, but he's telling me I ought to be poor. One thing, I ain't going to listen to that moron at all. He's a liar and a thief. He's just afraid somebody else is going to get some. Most people preach a God like that. The God who has everything, but really, He don't trust you with a thing and don't want you to have nothing. And so people have a hard time believing God for something great. They have a tough time with it. And this is a hump that we have to get over. And realize that these doctrinal things have been, you know, ingrained. They make you feel guilty. You get ministers stand up and they'll make you feel guilty because there's a poor person and you have a lot. I can look a poor person in faith and I have no guilt. I go to bed every night with a full belly. That's God's plan for me. That's God's plan. That's what God wants. And that's what God wants for Him. I'm not going to say, well, look, okay, I'm going to feed you and then I'll just go do without. It's because, you know, why don't we believe God and both of us get something to eat? And people don't do it. They feel guilty. I've listened to ministers and I've listened to missionaries. One time listening to a missionary, and they had, this is back years ago when they the old PTL show. They had a missionary on there, and this missionary sat and talked and was all about really running down America. You know, oh, you have all this stuff and all these hurting people, and we don't give. Well, number one, the American Christians may not tithe, but one thing is America does. America as a nation gives more than any other nation. We give more than any other nation, and we always have. We've given more than... That's why, that's one of the reasons it keeps us running. It's because of our giving. And I thought, this poor stupid missionary, he ought to be glad, because he wouldn't even been on the field, would have never even got there if he would have lived in one of them other countries. He'd have never got to the country because they wouldn't have had enough money to send him. If they didn't have the money, they couldn't send them. You need to know that. We have the money to send people. Don't ever feel guilty because we do well. I remember when Ken Copeland talked about when he started beginning to teach prosperity, and when his ministry started to reach out, and like going to Africa, and people started, you can't preach that message here. He said, what are you talking about? It's the Bible. Prosperity, he said, it'll work in any place if you follow it. If you follow God's plan for it, it'll work anywhere. I mean, I saw it when I was down in Peru. You know, I saw a missionary there who had a church, and he's preaching prosperity. And in his community, his people were the richest people in the community. His people were dressed the best. We were down there at that time, and I think it was 12,000% inflation was going on when I was there. And the next 6 months after I left, it went up to 24,000. They kept printing money and adding zeros, and they had these big bills with all these zeros on them. They weren't worth anything. You could have a bunch of them, and they weren't worth much. But the whole thing was, you went down in his church, they were taught prosperity. And in the middle of all this, these people were being blessed. And these people weren't coming. They weren't rich people came to his church. They got rich coming to his church. Hearing the word of God, God wanted to bless them. These were people that were poor. People, we need to change the way that we think. And like this missionary, he's there, he's in a complaint, and I'm thinking, I ain't giving this man a nickel. Because what the whole thing is they do, they get men looking to America instead of to God. America, you know. I mean, right now, our administration, and even a lot of our, whether it's the Republican or Democratic Party, they want the world to focus on America as their God. America is going to be their big helper. It's going to be the military might that's going to keep everything going. I'm going to tell you what, is it really working well, isn't it? No, we point people to God. It's like the Lord told me when you start the church, I want you to teach people so they can know God. He said, I want them to know me like you do. Not so I could be the savior of anybody. I'll tell you what, you'll fix a lot of family problems if you quit being savior. Woo! Good preaching. That's why you'll never get it. You can pray God and ask to help all you want, but as long as you're the God of your family and you're the God of your kids trying to take care of everything, forget it. You won't get God involved. God won't get involved till you leave. That's the way it works. You know, people waste their time praying about stuff all the time. Because they don't realize, they just think, well, God's going to jump in it no matter what I do, you know. I can go on here, but I'm doing good, you know. Man, I learned a long time ago, there's a lot of things you just got to turn it over to God's hands, because I'll tell you what, we wore ourselves out trying to fix it. Might as well laugh, keep you from crying. I'm just telling you, you have to learn that. I mean, I'm glad I learned it. I know people that got born again when I did, the same time I did, and they never learned a thing. And they're still bumping over the same stuff and going over. I mean, learn over time. Learn the fact of it. If what you've been doing ain't fixed it, quit doing it. It's like, stop it. You got to get a new plan. Hallelujah. Good preaching anyhow. I want to go over to Ecclesiastes. A book, it actually is in the Old Testament there. It's probably one you pass over and never read. There are things set into there. There's things that Solomon spoke in Ecclesiastes. Understand, dealing with the areas of the wisdom of God. A lot of the things that Solomon spoke about, even in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes and Songs of Solomon, things that were spoken really dealt toward what you do in life. really, that's where wisdom is. Wisdom is what to do. What you're supposed to be doing. Another wisdom is this. You know, we gain knowledge. Knowledge is good, but knowledge without wisdom is really of no, doesn't have much purpose. That's why today we have all these people filled with all kind of knowledge, but that, you know, you meet them and they're just dumb as a stick, really, because they don't know how to apply things. It doesn't matter how much you know. It's what you can apply in life or what you can do. You know, I can know a whole lot about a subject, but if I can't put it into use in life, there's not much point to it. You know, it's like, I often wonder why they ever teach history in schools. Why even bother teaching history? Because nobody ever pays attention to it. Why? Because of no wisdom in it. There's no wisdom. They don't see wisdom in history. They don't see wisdom, nor do they teach. What do? We just go make the same mistakes again. Why? Because nobody has any wisdom. So you get what you see of history and you look at it and it don't matter. I mean, I even hear people today say, we got to get back to founding principles of our nation. And I listen to them and I watch things they do and I thought, dear Lord, they don't even live it. They don't live it, saying we need to get back to it. No, it's about what you do. It's the wisdom. And so I take this as wisdom of God. In Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, I want to start reading at verse 24, says this. Now listen what this says. This is Solomon. This is the man that God gave wisdom. At that time, this was the wise guy. You know, he knew. God revealed wisdom. He says, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also, he said, I saw was from the hand of God. He said, for who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? He said, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping of wind. Now, Solomon makes this statement about a good man. In other words, this guy, he says, nothing is better. In other words, this is God. He saw this from God. And basically what it was, you were supposed to be able to enjoy what you have. God wants you to enjoy it. Well, now you're going to have enough to enjoy. You know, if you're poor, you probably ain't got much to enjoy. Because he talks about eating and drinking. In other words, you have plenty of food, you have got stuff, but you're supposed to enjoy it. You are. That's in the hand of God. God has not does not bless man's lives and then expects them, you know, to live some kind of life where you don't really enjoy it. Now, understand what we're talking about when we're talking about Israel had the law at this time that they lived under. This didn't mean that you go just live by the flesh and do anything you want. It's not what he's talking about. We go under our covenant. Our covenant, we don't live by the flesh. We're not supposed to take our money and just pour it out on the lusts of our flesh and do all the things that we'd like to do. People do that and they end up away from God. But we're supposed to enjoy. We're supposed to enjoy our wealth. You don't have to feel guilty about having wealth. Solomon said the job of the sinner is to go out here and get and collect money so you get it. So quit knocking the sinners. They're working for you. Stop it. Well, I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons why a lot of Christians can't get anything is because they don't move in line with the Word. You know, they're all worried. I'm not worried about Obama. I'll probably end up with his money. He's working for me. He surely is a sinner. I don't care what they say. He can say he's a Christian all he wants. You know, my God. I know a liar when I see one. And he's working for me. He might be president of the United States, but he works for Ed Gibson. But see, you folks, you need to understand, you know, because, you know, years ago the Lord taught me these things. And one of the things it is you get over them. It don't bother me what people lots of times are doing and saying and carrying on. It don't bother me. Because you don't want to get the wrong attitude. See, a lot of people have the wrong attitude. They're mad at people. They're mad at the world. They're mad at this guy, that guy. They're mad at all this stuff. And, you know, these are doing wrong and that's doing wrong. Well, somebody's got to work for me. They're out here working for me. But see, you take an attitude. If you take the attitude that God knows how to get wealth, you understand. God knows how. You don't need. Let's say this. The reason many Christians have trouble getting money or getting money coming their way is because they're always looking at other Christians. Here it says the sinner. God's going to take the sinner's money and get it to me. In other words, the majority population of this world, which is, you know, hugely percentage, is sinners. They're all candidates to send me money. They're all candidates to get money to you. That's what God... maybe Solomon just drank too much wine one night and said this. Is that what happened? Yeah, you're going to decide. You know, it's in the book. I'm going to believe it. You know, I'll never forget when Oral Roberts, the scorn that he took from ministers and ministries because sinners came and gave him money. A guy running a dog track down in Florida sent him $1 million, and the church just went, oh my God, he's taking gambling money. Well, then send it to Ed. These morons. I'll tell you what, I really, God would have to tell me to any of those ministers to give them a nickel. He'd have to tell me to do it. People are full of religion. And see, this is why. If you don't get this stuff out of you, if you don't get religion out of you, you're not going to prosper. You know, I was born and raised in a church, and you weren't supposed to have a good time with your money. You were supposed to act like you didn't have it if you did. You know, what you do is you just buy yourself a nice car, but just hide it under black. That's what they did. Now, see, nobody knows. See, I'm knocking a certain group. Look, I was raised under it. I can say what I want. If they don't like it, tough. I lived under it. I lived under the nonsense. I watched the hypocrisy and the lies that went with it. I watched all that stuff. I was there. Hallelujah. I know. And it made me and brought me the point of a hatred toward God. And I lived as a sinner for 30 years because of the trash in religion. And so, but God has a plan for us. You work and you labor. God wants you to enjoy that labor and that work. You know, over in, I'm not just going to quickly, but it's 2 Timothy 2:6. Paul told Timothy, he said, the hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. He didn't say the poor was the first to partake of the crops. He said the farmer. What you earn and work, if anybody's going to be the first to partaker of it, it's supposed to be you. You are. The guy that worked for it gets his share first. Now, we talked about the tithe. God says what we're supposed to give to the tithe. Well, then we turn around. We're supposed to have a share. We're supposed to enjoy life. We're supposed to have a share of our that we gain that is supposed to allow us to live a good life and enjoy ourselves. This is God's plan. It is you have to give it all away to because there's some guy out there that's poor. It's okay to help the poor. But today, the poor wants to be living like the guy who is rich by the rich guy giving everything he got to the poor person. And the church has to stop it because the church has lived in poverty and not followed scriptural principles for themselves. You don't have to give away everything. Hallelujah. You don't, and isn't that what God ain't forcing you? I want to give away a lot because that's what I've chosen to do. That's what I want to do. But I sure plan on getting a lot out of it. So it don't matter. You know, we gotta walk and live and think right, folks. We gotta get religious thinking out of us. Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter. We want to go to Ecclesiastes again in the 5th chapter. Now remember, it said over the New Testament, the farmer is supposed to be the first guy to eat the crop. That's New Testament. We say, well, that ain't New Testament. Look, wisdom ain't Old Testament and law. Wisdom's wisdom. The principles of wisdom stand the same. I don't care what covenant you're under. God didn't give one wisdom and gave another one later. In the fifth chapter, verse 18, here's what I've seen. This is what I've seen. He said, it is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him. How many days? Oh. We're supposed to have ups and downs. And you know, you're just going... He said, all. All the days. In other words, when you toil in your labor, it is supposed to benefit you and bring joy to your life. That's what it's supposed to do. Now, you need to understand this. It's like a lot of people say, well, you know, this guy out here, but he don't pay me enough. Well, you're already in the wrong field. You're heading in the wrong direction. You need to start thinking right about it. See, you need to start getting in line with the Bible. It isn't up to him to give you enough. Because now he's your God. That's who you're trusting in to get your money. Understand that. That's who then you begin to trust in. It's up to him to make me happy so I can have enough. It's up to him. It's up to that individual. Well, now, who's your source? You just claimed it. You just claimed your source. You know, we ought to find out. The unions ought to figure out this. I mean, unions in our nation, why have they been in such huge decline? The reason, because they've been operating under a wrong principle. Amen. Is the God, is the company that you work for, is the God. And they have to supply to you, and that's who it is. And I don't care. You said, if you operate under that system, you're operating under a handicap. You're under a handicap. So I don't like to hear that. I don't really care. Well, preach the Bible. It's what becomes God. See, I want to be able to sit down and go here and tell you what you're going to pay me. Well, now you tell God sometime then what he's supposed to do. See how well it works. You can't. There's a stupid scripture. We'll read it there about serving God and money. you can't do the two? Okay, all right. Well, we'll just keep meddling here. Listen to what he went on to say. For it is his heritage. In other words, this is your right. See, I'm talking about right. I'm right, you know. I right. You know, you need rights. I just read an article. You know, there's a guy, an illegal alien here in the United States. Guy's illegally in the country, and they just gave him a free kidney transplant. People die here in America, don't get them. And he's an illegal alien, and some hospital pays for him to have it, you know. And he made this statement. He said that medical care is not a privilege, it's a right every one of us should have. Well, I tell you, if you believe in that kind of thing, you're going to have a hard time walking in divine health and getting healed. Because God don't give it to you just because you think it's your right. You better have the walk for it. Woo! There's a walk in a way that you have to live and walk to heaven. It don't just happen. It don't happen because you entered the kingdom. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that just because you got born again and God blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that those blessings don't fall on your head every day? Did you notice that? That's like all those poor morons and today that come out of college and think just because they went to college and come out, they ought to have a big paying job. Bunch of idiots, dummies. Well, where did they get that stuff from? Well, probably the Christians. They've been Christians raise their kids like that. You know, welfare people, you know, welfare minded. They might not be on welfare, but they're welfare minded. They live a life of welfare. They're looking, there's a source that they're looking to. It's somebody else supposed to take care of me. Somebody else supposed to look after me. And if I do things wrong, I shouldn't have to pay the price for it. Somebody else ought to fix that for me, no matter what I've done. They live under that. Now this guy, in other words, we have a heritage. God has put a heritage of what he wants the person who works. And you see, it's one thing, it's like America is running off on a bad road, and it didn't start under the Obama administration. It's been going under all the Democrat and Republican administrations have been moving our nation into the area of of taking from the guy who has something and taking things away from him so these other group can turn around and have this stuff so we can turn around. You know, and really, they don't think you have a right to enjoy your stuff. You don't have a right to enjoy that. The guy that works has the least rights in America today. You don't have a right to nothing. I mean, all Congress does is sit there and fight over what they can take from you and what they're allowed to or not allowed to take from you. Why? They ain't taking nothing from them. They're only giving to that group, and they're becoming the majority group. And then the nation wants to be blessed. That's what wants to laugh. It can't go. I mean, but understand this. The majority of Christianity is in the camp of the government. Most of Christianity, even a lot of spirit-filled Christianity, has the same doctrine as the government. They look at the people who come to their church who have as targets for money to give to somebody. You're just a target. That's what they see. And that's what they do. It's the same system. See, they throw rocks at the government, but the church operates under the exact same system. Like, I was a very large church, and the pastor said to me, we call our people giving units. And I said to him, I said, if I went to your church and you called me a giving unit, I said, you'd never see me in your church again. I said, I ain't your giving unit. I ain't a target for money for you, you bum. So we in other words, don't throw rocks at, you know, at just at the government, because you don't have to throw rocks at a lot of the church, because a lot of the church has helped this system. The church is a great promoter in America of this system. They're a big promoter of it. And so you get over there, see, you start looking at men. After a while, you want to, you know, shoot somebody. That's why you got to keep smiling and happy. See, I'm following God's system. I'm not trying to fix all them out there. That ain't my job. That ain't my job just to fix everybody out there. I preach the truth. That's what I do. But my job ain't to fix you. It's not my job. Keeps me out of trouble. See, I don't want to be God to anybody because I can't fix you. I don't care what I preach to you and what I minister to you. It matters not if you don't walk in the light of the Word of God. It matters not. I can't change that. You're going to reap what you sow. Just because you sit under the Word or heard the Word, you got to act on the Word of God. But see, my job is not try to fix people. I don't do that. I do not have the ability to do that. I just... And I've learned a long time ago, so I don't have to. See, my job is to live out the Word of God, walk in the light so I can be blessed. I keep myself in a position that if I can be a help in God's kingdom or do whatever, then I'm available and He can use me. That's my job. My job isn't to find my place of ministry. My job ain't to, I don't do none of that. None of that's in my hands. Makes a pretty nice life because I don't have near the problems a lot of people do, because I don't accept a lot of things just because religion and society accepts it a certain way. Because we got this crazy book, and I believe it's true. I believe it's true. God wants you to enjoy life. And see, you need to enjoy it. Verse 19, we were reading on Ecclesiastes, we read 18. 19 says, "For every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage..." What is this? To receive his heritage. In other words, now I want you to see this crazy statement. God gives riches, He gives wealth, and given him power to eat it, receives his heritage and rejoices in his labor. This is the gift of God. See, we gotta leave the system of the world with guilt about wealth, making me feel sorry because, well, my words, there's somebody out here can't eat, so I'm supposed to feel bad, and I'm supposed to take my stuff and go give it to them because I feel so bad about it. That's the reason you're doing it. You're not going to get anything back. You can believe God all you want. Paul talked, and if you go over and read in 2 Corinthians, Paul spoke specifically about the attitude of giving. You don't give grudgingly. You don't give out of necessity. We don't operate out of that. If you aren't giving because of love, if you're giving because you just, oh, I feel bad for them, that ain't the motive for giving. I feel bad for them. Your flesh will feel bad about things all the time. Well, you know, you just got to take care of the kids. So, you know, so what we do is we keep the adults sinning, keep giving them money so they can live. And then the adults blow the money, and then there's never enough for the kids anyhow. So we just keep giving them more and giving them more and giving them more. And it never ends up enough. You know, I know from a church-wise, I mean, and talking with the other organizations and churches just in our community in Lebanon, the welfare people, my God, the people say they're on welfare. My God, they're on all kinds of stuff. My God, they got more programs in the world and more private programs, and they're getting stuff out of every bit of it. And they're hitting at the same time, they're calling every church in town trying to get some. And I have this real good saying, no. I don't know them. You can't just because somebody calls you and says, well, I'm hurting. Well, why are you hurting? And you always tell them they're being liars because the first thing they call a church and they say, I'm a Christian. And that's the first thing I say, well, excuse me, what church you go to? Well, I don't have a church. I say, well, you're probably not a Christian. You just lied to me. And I ask them, I say, well, you know, they'll say, oh, well, I go to church sometime here and there. Are you a faithful giver of that church? No, I say, well, why are you asking a church for something when you don't give in to them? I said, do you think money falls out of the tree on us? They say, well, you're being ugly. No, I'm not being ugly. Somebody ought to wake up one day and talk to these people and tell them the truth. Because they ain't going to get it from these agencies. They're never going to tell them the truth. I mean, I've called our government agencies about people turning around and are complaining, you know, that they really need help and stuff. I've checked people out, and I've called agencies and found out. Actually, I mean, they admitted to me they had people on assistance programs 2 years longer than the government allows them to be on. And they said, well, we've still been taking care of them for 2 years. We ain't supposed to be. I said, well, it really worked, didn't it? Because now they're worse than what they were before, and they're going around hounding people and doing stuff. You really helped. So see, there's one thing. If anybody's going to break the law about it, the government's going to do it. Yeah, we know we ain't supposed to be doing it, but so let me tell you this. Not all these cheaters out here and cheating the government out of money. There's a lot of people out here that the government's helping them cheat and knows it. Let's get straight about it. Because you understand this. You've got all these people filled with the doctrines I'm talking about, and they're working in these positions, and so they're going to use the government's money to help people the way they think. That's what they're going to do. They think it's their money. They don't realize they just stole. They just stole. That wasn't their money to give to somebody. It wasn't theirs to give. That's stealing. And then they wonder why. And then a person comes down from cancer and they say, I don't understand, he was such a good person. You know, just like the guy that just, you know, football player just shot his girlfriend. He said, he was a really good guy. I thought, oh my God, good guys kill their girlfriends. That's American. But understand, people don't think 2 seconds of what they say. Good people don't go kill other people. It's like today, everybody's good, you know. They were a good person. I don't know how they went wrong. Sure, he was good because to the standard of the other guys that he hung around with who did rotten things. Well, he was a good old boy. Yes, he's just as hellion as you were. Just as devilish and ugly as you were. My God. At the standard of what they talk about today, I mean, every evil person's going to be in heaven. You know, because they were all good. Just something went wrong for a while there. But I heard they say he was a good guy. I said, well, my God, how scary is that? Hallelujah. Well, verse 20, let's read that. It says, verse 20 says, for he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joys of his heart. The reason people today are so focused on their lives and all this is such a focus, such self-centered lives, is because of not walking godly and not walking in the light of God's prosperity, not walking in the light of it. People live and all they do is they think about their time right now. You know, they're always, you know, it's not having this good life. And they don't think good life. They don't think about that. Their thought is about what they're dealing with now. See, that's what, to me, was the most wonder when I learned the message of faith. When God told me to start to get Kenneth Hagin's teachings. And I started getting them, started learning the faith message. It's one of the most wonderful things. It took the care and the worry out of life. I never felt that I wasn't going to make it again. I never entered my mind that I wasn't going to have enough. That left. All that junk left because of getting into the Word of God and finding out about the truth of God's plan for my life. That God wanted me to have a good life and enjoy it. He wanted me to enjoy my life. Hallelujah. He wanted me to have the joy. He says this person, the joy of their heart, of what their heart do. You need to understand this. I'm just telling you, and look, I'm not knocking anybody or saying, I just want you to understand this. Most of you are not doing what's in your heart to do. And that's one of the reasons why you don't have the joy you're supposed to. What you'd like to do, you keep making excuses of why you can't do it. God gives us money so we can fulfill the desires and the joy. See, I know, I can't quit preaching the gospel. Number one, I love it. It's in my heart to do it. That's why I just can't imagine people say to me about retiring. I can't even imagine. I don't even think about it. The joy of my heart would not be retirement. That wouldn't be the joy. The most joyful thing that I can do is get revelation from heaven and teach it. I mean, it's the most joyful thing that I can do. I love it. I love it. See, that's my place. See, I don't know exactly what your call is or what you, but you have to find that. It's like, you know, guys, I've told you, you know, the millionaire guy from Australia, he said that most Christians live and die and never do what's in their heart to do. He said, I feel so sorry, he said, for most Christians. Because they live and die and never do what's in their heart to do. He made his money. He got rich by following what was in his heart to do. He said, that's what I did. He said, people tell me, you can't do that. You'll never make any money. You'll not make a living doing this. And the man's made millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. He's made doing things that people said, you can't do. Don't you know you can't do that? And he would go do it. Following what? There was a desire in his heart. There was something. There's things in your heart, desires in your heart. You got to start walking toward them. The night that I got born again, there was a desire in my heart to preach the gospel. And I never did anything from that point or took any job that would lead me away from moving toward the gospel. See, you can say you have desire of things. I've been around people, I say, you know, they have a desire to do certain things for God, but they'll always let other things enter in, other stuff. They'll go out here and you know, for the sake of money, take a job that leads them out away from it. You know, it worked at Reese's. I was a group leader, but I saw that being as a group leader, I was not going to be able to spend the time labor working in a church like I wanted to, because the responsibility that job would take for me. And so I took a lesser paying job. I stepped out of position and told them, and I took it. And you know, because I wanted to be able to labor and work in a church. I knew I was called to the gospel. So I got to follow toward the ministry. I can't follow, go do something else. See, these people say, I have this desire for this, but they're doing everything else under the sun. And they act like that someday I can do all this other stuff and then someday I just somehow fall into this over here and it don't happen. I know guys today who years ago said, what they were going to do and some they're going to do for God. And I will tell you, 99% of them are not doing any of it and will not. They will leave this earth. Numbers of them are sick, don't have good health. Why? Because they never followed the plan in their heart. And they're over here trying to believe God to be well. What for? Because they ain't going to follow God. You don't need to be well if you ain't going to follow God. What for? If we're not going to follow God, is it so I can be well and disobey? We need to understand these things. There's desires in our heart. And look, I'm not trying to criticize, but we need to understand that. We got to follow what the plan is. Why? Because there's your enjoyment. I have never regretted one iota of things and stuff that I did where people were out doing, making money and stuff. But I was heading, following my heart. Why? Because I was doing what my heart wanted to do and I was happy at it. I was happy at it. You know, when God told us to go to Ramah and me leave a job and move out there, and we went out there and you know, I got a job making $4 and whatever it was, like 20 some cents it was an hour, it was the minimum wage. And boy, I'll tell you what, I was as happy as if I was a millionaire. And I'm serious. I just loved it. Why? I knew it. I knew I was in the will of God. I knew where I was, where God wanted me to be. I knew it. And I was happy. And you know what? In all that, God brought money to me. God has always brought money to me. He's always brought money to me. He has to. I'll quit serving Him if He quits. He don't take care of me. Dear God, we ain't serving Him. I got good sense. I ain't sitting around and hounding some employer to take care of me or somebody. If I'm in the will of God, God's going to have to bless me. If He put me someplace where it don't pay, He's going to have to bring money in. He's just going to have to do that. He did that for me there. The money wasn't there. The guy refused anything. The guy was his best worker and he refused to pay me anymore. He wouldn't pay me anymore. God brought me money and it didn't go well for him. The manager ended up getting fired over it. But there's one thing that God taught me, and I learned over time. See, you walk in this place, this thing that God has set. You see, I was a good laborer and a worker. My employer wasn't paying me, but God brought wealth to me that I can enjoy because of my labor. See, when I'm looking at that employer for the money, I just closed all the other doors for God to bring me anything. I just shut every one of them. See, you can't, don't do that. Don't shut the door. You can't turn around and expect God to bring you something and your focus is on your employer. If your focus is on your employer, that's your means and source. It's got to come from Him. They got to pay me. Understand this. God can't force that guy to pay you more. If He did, He's going to override His will. Override the man's will. He's going to override the person's will. Make him do something. See, it's just like the situation I see. Like some people say, well, yeah, God will help you get a raise where you're at. Maybe not. He didn't help me get a raise there. But He brought the money in. Didn't bother me none. I don't care where it comes from. Bring it on in. Don't matter. See, we get over and we don't see ourselves many times that we do have another God. And we don't view it as that. But really, it's a form of idolatry. It's looking to somebody else or something as a source. And stopping, really closing God off. At the same time, asking God to do something. But we're asking God, get that guy or get this person or make them do something. So we're trying to do that, really, this in a sense, I think a lot of the praying for presidency is, well, we're going to make them do something. You know, God can knock them out of there. God can change things. God can turn things around in huge things in a period of time. But if we focus ourselves and get ourselves focused on one area, and this is what we're looking for to come from or how it's got to happen, we're going to close the door. And we're not going to live in this place to where we enter into our true heritage. Hallelujah. To that place you live a good life. We were supposed to pray for our leaders. Why? So we could live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Trust God concerning the leaders of our nation. Why? If we do that, God's obligated for us to live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. It's godliness and honesty. Don't say crooks and cheats. I'm sorry, a lot of Christians are in that category today out here. They're just like the world. They'll lie, cheat, and steal. And use the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Good preaching anyhow. Glory to God. Well, One of the problems that we have in the areas of changing our thinking in the areas of finances is one of the things is Jesus Christ's teachings. If we look even in the scripture, we're not going to read through them, but Jesus was understood most on a lot of his teaching. He was understood, especially on the areas of money. He was really understood, misunderstood. He gave examples and things, but we look at things just like Jesus. Jesus came to Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter, and Jesus came to Nicodemus and gave Nicodemus, he gave him a revelation, which he didn't get. He gave him the revelation. But Nicodemus didn't get the revelation. It was for him to have, but he didn't get it. And the reason he didn't get the revelation, he got the revelation about the new birth, which is a spiritual thing. But he was a religious man who thought on the religious side all the time, and he's trying to figure out, he's over there, it's all about the natural, you know. And he's over there thinking in the natural. But Nicodemus didn't know how to operate by faith, therefore he couldn't receive that. He couldn't understand. It requires faith to understand the principles of God. This is why so many people have trouble with them. If you don't know how to operate in faith, you're going to have a hard time getting revelation from God. Even when it's spoken to you, the understanding of things come by understanding faith. See, Jesus came along. Just think about it. I mean, Jesus came along in John the 6th chapter. And if you go over there and read in the discourse, where Jesus talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Now I want to think about this. You have multitudes of disciples. Jesus didn't have just 12 disciples. Jesus had multitudes of disciples who followed him around all the time. And when he spoke about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, he was speaking a principle that requires faith to operate and understand. We did it through receiving Jesus Christ. We entered in. It's something you enter into by faith. They didn't understand it, and the majority, almost all his disciples, left him at that time. And that's when Jesus turned around and said to Peter and the boys, aren't you guys going to leave too? Peter had good sense. Peter understood from the standpoint of faith. Peter knew this. Peter said, look, you're the only one that's got eternal life. In other words, I'm not going to go anywhere. Peter's saying, look, I didn't get what you meant by that, but I know who you are and what you are. I am going to take that and we'll put it on the back burner. We'll get this one someday. But I ain't leaving the truth. See, faith people do that. People who don't understand faith, they hear a doctrine and they don't understand it. They just throw the light switch off and that's it. Well, I don't believe it's that way. That's craziness. And that's what they do. Or they sit and they hear it, and they hear it in a carnal, fleshly way. And they read a lot of their own ideas and thinking into it, and they don't walk in the revelation that God's given. Because you can take revelation that God's given. I mean, look what they've done with the new birth today in the church world, Nadia. I mean, they've taken the new birth, which is clearly in the scripture about it, and what you have to do to be born again, and they've taken it today in the church world. You know, everybody's saved. Everybody's gone to heaven. You don't go to any funeral, and they're all in heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. Everybody goes. I mean, my words, if Adolf Hitler would die today, he'd be gone to heaven. You know, he'd be dead. I mean, you'd get a preacher to preach over his funeral and say, yeah, he messed up here, but he'll be with Jesus, and we'll see him one day. And, yeah. Okay. But see, because people don't understand faith, they don't understand. The church world, much of the church world, they're misunderstanding. They think God loves the poor more than He does everybody. Oh, I've heard preachers say that. I've heard that out of preachers' mouth. That God loves the poor more than He does anybody. I'm going to tell you, God loves the righteous more than anybody. Hell's full of poor people. They left this earth. God loved them, but they ain't going to be with Jesus. They didn't accept Him. That's the gospel. That ain't it. There's no such thing as Christianity in the idea everybody goes to heaven. You can't have that Christianity. It ain't in the book. Jesus never taught it or preached it. The apostles never taught it or preached it. That's man's ideas. Well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty nice person. I'll go there. Who set that standard? Yeah. But you know, but they always say, you know, the poor God likes and the rich, we don't even know if a rich person's even going to get to heaven. We don't even know if a rich person could possibly be saved. We wonder. I mean, I remember as a kid growing up, and I mean, they looked at rich people as the fact of, you know, the rich people, you know, you ain't going to get anywhere. Look, this is one of the reasons is why, is understand this. This is why, and I'm not trying to be for a political party, but this is why Democrats hate the idea and policies of the Republican Party. The idea of people getting wealth is because they have bought into the doctrines that have been preached by the church that the poor are the best group. The Democrats were smart. They wanted to, these are worldly people, like most of the Republicans. They wanted to get into office, so they found the doctrines that people believed. That's what they've done. I mean, we have today the Republican Party sitting over there saying, we maybe ought to adopt some of their doctrines if we want to get the people to come over and vote for us. So we're going to go over, we're going to start preaching lies so we can get in office. We'll do good. But you understand, they found out that, and so understand this, where did these doctrines come from? These doctrines came out of the church world. These doctrines about the poor and this stuff has come out of the church world. And so now our governments are built around it. I mean, our government, I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican or in office, our government's built around this principle. Every time they go to try to deal with any kind of policy, dealing with finances, you can't take money from this, you can't do that, you can't do this. Why? The poor will hurt the most. So what we're going to do, let's kill the whole nation and let all everybody die out of this so we can act like we're good. And I'll tell you, both parties are into it up to their necks. Because people want to be liked. Jesus didn't want to be, he didn't care if he liked. He preached, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and everybody left. And you know what he said? He turns around, who's left? And he said, you ain't going to leave too? Jesus wasn't moved by whether people liked him or not. Or people, you know, agreed with his doctrine. He didn't care. He said, I only say what the Father says. In other words, you don't like what I'm saying, you don't like God. That's basically what he said. Good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. But see, one of the things we have is people get into the areas of guilt is can we be wealthy and have money, or like can we have a storehouse, a reservoir? In Matthew 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Makes this statement, and people read these things wrong. We want to look at 6 and verse 19. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, what Jesus was dealing with here, Jesus was really dealing from the motives by wealth. He's talking about an individual, or he's talking about people here of a problem to stay out of. Now understand, he keeps talking about the treasure, where your heart is. It's about your heart. It's about what you are on the inside, what you love on the inside, on your inner man. You can be a Christian, and you can love money in your heart. And I'm going to tell you what's going to be very destructive to your life. Jesus is telling people here how they can lay up treasures in heaven. He's telling men, in other words, to lay up treasures in heaven is about out of your heart. This is about faith. This is about walking and living by faith. That's how you live out of your heart, by faith. You live by faith. He's talking a faith message. He goes on to say here about how, in other words, your eye, the way you view or the way you see things is either light or darkness. How do you view stuff? How do you see it? How do you see things? See, there's some people, well, man, I just got to hang on to my money. That's you know, the way they are. You know, we get people, and that's, I mean, the strangest thing, you get these people, every once in a while you'll hear about it. Somebody has a whole amount of left, a wealth, and they're living a poor life and turn around and die with hardly a thing and have a huge amount of money in the bank. Well, they're operating, you know, it's demonic, but they're operating under a spirit of selfishness and everything. They're saving and hoarding and trying to keep, I gotta have this big sum, I gotta have this. And see what happens? It dominates their inner man. It dominates. That money dominates them on the inside. I don't care, they say I'm a Christian. Their God is that money. That's what holds and controls their life. And what Jesus is dealing with here is where money does not control your life. It don't control. And see, you don't want it to. You don't want money to control your life. You want money as a thing where it becomes a wonderful tool. Why? Because if money controls your life, you're never going to really ever enjoy your money. You'll never enjoy it. If money, you're going to always have in the back of your mind, boy, should I spend that? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have given that away. I don't know. I should. You know, you'll be a person who'll end up regretting your tithe. I'm serious. People do. People get over in those areas. It's why there's a problem there. It's how they view things. It's how they see things. The treasure that they have is their money. And you would never get them. I know Christians. You'd never get them to admit that money is number one in their life and not God. Oh, they'd get mad as a hornet at you. But that's exactly the way it is. Because money will have more say over their life than God will. We talked about before, people, you know, they're laying up this huge amount of money, and it's for the future, but it's about, I have it here for my retirement, but it's a place where God can't touch. But we need to understand, it isn't that God don't want people to have something. But when I build something up and I make it a place where God can't touch, I will guarantee you this, there's things you will never touch with God either. You close the door to the covenant. The covenant's a two-way door. It's not a one-way door. The church preaches a gospel of one way, one direction. It's all about us. It's all about what we get from God, but what God can demand or ask of us. See, this is why, you know, when people turn around, they just make the tithe. I've tithed and I've done my thing. God can rightfully demand anything He wants from me. Or I have no right to demand what I want from Him. See, if I want all He has, He'd sure like to have what I got. But now we found out He wants me to live a good life. His intent is not to take stuff from you so you don't have enough. He's not going to do that. He's not going to operate in that way. But see, if I get over here and I'm holding on the money and say, hold it, you can't serve God and serve the money. You can't do that. You can't serve God and the money. One of the things that God dealt with me, and I really believe is why one of the things that God dealt with me in the areas of giving money when I started off as a Christian was really is to get me over to the area where I could release money. And that's why He had me, would tell me on a few occasions where we had to give everything we had. He did it in the Scriptures. He did it to the rich young ruler. And I'm going to tell you what, the rich young ruler, people say, well, that was, you know, I forget who they say it was. It was somebody they said they come up with. Well, was it Barnabas? They say it was Barnabas. Well, we have no proof it was Barnabas. But was Barnabas? I'll tell you one thing. And if he didn't give it all up, he didn't get straightened out. The love of money is no different than being an alcoholic or being a drug addict. There is absolutely no difference in it. It's a need. Anything in your life that dominates your life is in the same category, in the same class. I've seen people do with their children. Their children take the place of God in their family. And everything runs around that. Boy, everything, there's kids who've got to take care of everything with that. And that becomes everything. And God gets left on the sidelines of things. You see, we need to be careful. And see, people, when you talk, say, oh, you're like a drug addict. Oh, who do you think you are? But it's the truth. It's anything that controls. And see, with money, the rich young ruler, his problem was that money controlled his life. When Jesus asked him about the keeping of the commandments, Jesus, you ever go over there and read it? Jesus asked him about keeping the commandments and asked him about, you know, it says, you know, you don't lie, you don't steal, you know. He said, oh, I keep all that stuff. You know what the number one commandment was? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And all your soul and all your mind, this is the first commandment. That was the number one. And what happened? When Jesus said, give up the money, He said, forget it. He didn't keep the commandments. He wasn't keeping the commandments. His love, his money was his God. Jesus was trying to get him to switch gods. And you know what? You can't go to another God without burning the one you had before. You got to destroy it. See, there's people that maybe not have to go through that. But it was a good thing for me to go through. Was God was turning around and teaching me that He could slide something that would be my God out of my hands. You Presbyterians get awful quiet when we talk. You've got sober faces sitting there. No, I want you to understand it. I found out this without with God. If God wanted to move me to another level, He would always have to come to me and get me to yield totally into something. That's one of the things. I will guarantee this. You will never walk to the place to divine health till you learn how to yield your health to Him and to His hands. Good preaching anyhow. People can say anything. You go listen to any preacher say anything you want. I've been there and lived it. And still do. I know how it works. But you have to come to the place where you're going to be willing. God took me over in the hard place. It wasn't with my health. It was with my kids. Dealing with my daughter, Alyssa. I'm going to tell you what, that was no easy thing. But God made me put her life into His hands to teach me a lesson. See, you don't go there to those places. If you don't ever go there, you're never going to have it. I've heard people say this, a rich young ruler really didn't have to give up everything. You know, if he would have been just willing to do it, God could have said he could keep it. No, he couldn't. You're going to have to come to the place sometimes of things you're going to have to give up 100% completely. Another person doesn't have to because they don't have a problem with it. They don't have to give it up completely. Oh yeah, I got a problem. It ain't their God. They can take it or leave it. The rich young ruler had a problem that had to be solved. He could not have two gods. The word says you can't serve them both. He made a choice when he left. I'm going to serve my money and possessions. We deal with mammon, it's money and possessions. People have possessions that God can't touch. You can't have possessions you can't touch. I see people, you know, and it's this is one thing, as I see this, and don't let it happen as life goes on. We collect things, we have nice stuff, and we have things, but we get stuff that we cannot release, and it's going to affect your life if you do that. I see people do with their homes, you know, well, I got to have my home, I got to have this house, and I've lived here all my year, and I've got, no, I'm just here, and this is that, and really that's a place God can't touch. And you know what? If God can't touch it, He can't take you to something better. You can never have better than that. You're limited to that. See, what we won't allow Him, what we have in possession, it isn't God. I believe God lets you have a bunch of stuff. We'll go talk about it next week. There's some things in Scripture tells us. God wants us to have a reservoir. He wants to have us to have a reserve. He wants us to have that. He wants you to have that. But He has to release us out of fear. The fear that we're not going to have. He has to release us of this fear that reservoir. See, if I get that reservoir, now does that reservoir become my God? See, that's not good. If that reservoir becomes my God, then I'm in trouble. Then if God... That's got a place God can't touch. And I'm just going to say this. If you have an area that is hard for you to let God touch it, God cannot move you on till He's allowed to touch it. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. I can just tell you this truthfully. I've never thought it was fun when it was happening. But I will tell you this, it was very needful for me. And you know what? I ain't overdoing that stuff too. There's things He still wants to touch. But I'm sure that's part of spiritual development. But we get into things of our life that we don't want to allow God to touch in. Our place of our life is just like me. It was a hard thing to learn. I could have stood through something myself with a sickness or whatever, and I'll just stand through it. It don't matter to me at all. But you know, I had a place where it dealt with my wife and with my kids. And I had to learn to trust God in that. If any place I had a hard time with that, that was that. I wanted to get it over because I wanted to take care of it. I wanted to work, and I wouldn't trust it to God. That's where I wanted to go. I didn't want to trust it. I wanted to take care of it, you know. Daddy's going to take care of things, you know. And so you're trying to reach over there to do that. But there's things that you've got to lay into God's hands. You've got to lay it into God's hands and say, hey, here it is. And, you know, it's not, and I'm going to tell you, it's not comfortable. It never is comfortable. If you don't believe it, just watch his show. Go watch one of those shows where there's people hoard. You know, I could take about maybe 5 minutes of a show like that, and just like, I was like, my God, cast the devil out of that poor person and get this thing straightened out. But really, and that's, we don't realize that's what it is a person can't release something. They have to have control. They got to keep control. That's, when we have those places, that's where God cannot come into our life and God can't work there because it has to be under our control. It has to be under our fix. You know, I learned this. Don't ever say there's things you won't do. I ain't going to do this and I ain't going to do that. I'll guarantee you, God will probably, your big blab mouth just got you in trouble because God's going to probably come and ask you to do it. And I'm serious. I am serious about it. He can't take you past that. There's things you're going to ask Him for that He cannot bring you to because of that. He has to be able. I ain't going to do that. I'll never forget. I was at Bible school and there was one class we had on missions, and this guy and his wife sat up in front of me, and all she did was, when in the missions classes, well, we're called to be pastors. I don't know why we have to sit in these classes and that stuff. And I ain't ever going on the field, this and that. And I said, God, don't ever let them get into the ministry till she has to go on the mission field for at least a year or so. Because I said, I pity anybody who gets her as a pastor's wife. I pity anybody because I tell you, she's going to destroy people and ruin people. Because they'll get the same spirit she got. I'm on a medal. That's why lots of times people have kid problems. Because they got your spirit. I'm just telling you. What you, they ain't going to do. They're as stubborn as you are. See, there's things to stand and to be stubborn and make a stand about. There are. But when it comes to things of God, of what God wants you to do, you have to have a tender heart toward it. You got it. That's why God deals with us. So I'm talking to you about these things. Is to prosper in areas. There's things we have to yield to. And it's not always easy. But understand, it's a wonderful runoff effect. Because I'm talking about prosperity. It's not just about money. It's about all the blessings of life. We read today, it's about enjoying your life. Well, I don't care how much money you got. You can't go enjoy your life. Your kids are heathens. You can enjoy it. You can enjoy your life while your children and everything else go serve the devil or whatever. Is that going to be true? See, you want it to work. That's why you want to follow these principles. God, whatever you want me to do, I want to do. I figured if Jesus, the Son of God who never sinned, got in the garden and he had to pray, not my will but yours, I figure Ed will have to do it a lot often. Ed's going to have a lot of garden experiences. And there ain't going to be those sweet garden alone, you know, and singing that nice sweet song. It's going to be Ed squalling and bawling trying to get out of it. Oh God, don't make me do it. Oh God, I have to. Oh, finally, Lord God, it's your will and not mine. Let's do it. Let's do this thing. And I'm serious. If you're going to follow God, you're going to have those experiences. You're going to, in your, because it's going to limit how far you're going to go with God. When I look at Kenneth Hagin's life, and he came up into 1948 when the Lord told him to go out and go teach my people faith. He told him to do it. This man had been in a ministry numbers of years. He had gone through a lot of stuff. And the Lord said this to him, I allowed you to go through the things that you did so you could teach my people faith. You're going to have to go. You can't bring something to somebody you know nothing about. You can tell people facts and figures out of the Bible. But he said, you go teach them. He said, I've allowed you to, you've went through these things. You've had experiences and stuff, and you've had to learn to use your faith and walk. And you look at his, I mean, my man, God was rough on him sometimes of things and dealing with him on stuff. But you know what? Because of his obedience, I look back and think, my God, the blessing that man was to me. He would have never been the blessing to me if he would have acted the way I did. And I tell you what, it's one of these. I looked at the man's life. A lot of people just listen to the teaching. I found out I had a copy of things about his life. To come to the place to say, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, And I'll tell you, I have not risen to 100% of that yet. If you have, my God, you've gone over me. I am sure of this. There's things I have to sacrifice I don't even know about yet. There's things I'm going to have to lay on the altar that I don't even know yet. But it's all part of development and growth. And it's this place that God wants to take you and get this religion out. It isn't about you suffering to give to everybody else. God wants you to be blessed in your life. He wants you to come to the place where you have this great life, that you're not motivated like the world is about giving and motivated, but you're motivated by a heart following the plan and purpose of God in your life. God wants to put money into your hands. There's specific people you're to give it to. You give it to the wrong people, you just threw away God's plan. It's not just throwing a... He said the Bible talks about giving to every good work. I'll tell you, a lot of the works ain't good out here. They look good to the eye of men, but they are not good to the eye of God. And you want to be able to sow to what God wants you to do. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. We'll meddle in some of these things next week.